it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to another Steelers Depot live stream. As always, I am Alex Kazora. Joining me tonight, as he always does, is Dave Bryan for the next hour, answering as many and hopefully all of your Steelers questions here till 8 p.m. Eastern time. Dave, our first live stream since the 2024 NFL Draft wrapped up this weekend. A bunch of new rookies, potentially more news coming about a playmaker. A lot of buzz on that right now. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fine, and now that we've started this stream, we'll get about 5 minutes into it, and then that exciting news, whatever it is, will break. But we got Ross McCorkle handling things on the other end there, so got an hour. I'm sure we got a lot of questions and comments, coming out of the draft weekend. So it's an exciting time. I know you and I both are a little bit more rested than we were that grind going through draft weekend there. But all is good, and let's get after it.
Let's do it. Again, be sure to get your questions in. We'll go through them as many and as not rapid fire, but get to as many as possible. You want a guarantee of your question being asked and answered by David and myself. You can send us a super chat. No obligation, but you will go to the front of the line, and we appreciate all the super chats. Appreciate you guys being here. At the least, if you guys could like this video, subscribe to the channel, and check out the site, SteelersDepot.com. Got you guys covered throughout our entire draft coverage, and hopefully you guys enjoyed that. We'll jump into the questions here. Lumberzack94 says, fellas, thank you and the rest of the Steelers Depot team for putting in a ton of work to keep us informed. For the hard work, a simple question, who is both your favorite picks and undrafted free agents? Again, thanks to the Steelers Depot team, and yeah, great job by them, and we thank you as well, Lumberzack. So Dave, I'll let you kick things off, your favorite draft pick and your favorite undrafted free agent. Not too many of the latter to choose from, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Zach Frazier pick. We just had a post go up on the site. In fact, did kind of a round table in print format of evaluating the draft class. And one of the questions within that Josh posed to the rest of us was, who was your overall, favorite pick, best pick, I guess. And I went Zach Frazier. Look, this team sorely needed a center, right? Mm-hmm. We've been talking about that for a long time, been talking about the top three in the draft class. And look, Zach, I understand a lot of people had Graham Barton and Jackson Powers Johnson ranked higher than Zach Frazier, but Zach Frazier was the truest, really, center of the bunch. Obviously, nearby West Virginia, probably knew a lot about the kid. I think, what you see on the tape with him, there's not a hard projection involved there. So being at field, really a big need for this team. And, you were able to stay put. In fact, I mean, when two of those centers came off the board and they're sitting down there at 51 with, what was it, something like eight or nine picks in between, I was beginning to wonder if Frazier would fall down to him. But he did. So that would be my favorite of that. As far as the undrafted guys go, I mean, there's only five of them that we know of right now. I would say probably I'm interested to watch more of Beanie Bishop, the undersized defensive back there out of West Virginia as well, too. So I think those would be my answers to the question.
I'm with you, Dave. I'm going to agree on both counts there. I think Frazier does not have the highest upside in this class. Troy Fautano, or Fautano, I'm always, because I'm hearing the names pronounced wrong so often, I still get that screwed up. But Fautano has higher upside. Peyton Wilson has higher upside. But Frazier, to me, is a guy that's going to be that plug-and-play center. They need it. And if they didn't get Frazier at 51, if they chose someone else, if Frazier came off the board, they miss out on the big three centers, I don't know what they would have done, and I'm glad we don't have to find out what they would have done as their backup plan, drafting somebody later on and having Herbig potentially be this team's week one center. So Mike Adezzo, similar question, but he makes the comment about the patience to land Frazier at 51. Yeah, kudos to letting the board come to them and things breaking in their direction. For the undrafted guys, again, only five of them. I'm with you on Bishop, the playmaking, second team AP All-American, four interceptions last year, a guy with some speed, and that slot corner job for now is pretty wide open. So there's him. I'm watching the back from Edwards as well. He's undersized, shifty, not a lot of long speed, but good contact balance and change of direction. Running back room's pretty crowded, but he may stick on the practice squad.
You know, I'm a former smoker, and if I was a GM during a point of the draft like that, I would be chain smoking, trying to wait for a certain player to fall to me like that. So it's probably good that for several reasons that I'm not the GM.
Those draft room cameras would be pretty hazy whenever they tuned into the Dave Bryan War Room. So got a $20 super chat here. Thank you so much from our friend Double HH. Let's see. Great jobs, Seagulls Depot crew this offseason. It was as if you were the only OBGYNs in a town full of pregnant moms. There's a phrase for you. We'll take it. Nonstop work in there. Do you see the Steelers going for a good receiver or good cornerback with their cap room? I think they'll bring in veterans at slot corner and receiver. I think they need to. The buzz right now, and we should talk about it, is them going after a receiver. Who? We don't know. Brian McFadden teasing an explosive playmaker. That's all we know right now. Potentially Cortland Sutton could be somebody else, but I think they will bring in a veteran receiver to start on the outside before camp.
Yeah, I agree, and I think you could see both positions. Look, this team has three open roster spots right now. Omar Khan was asked about the wide receiver position after the draft, if he might add to the room. And, yeah, I realize it's kind of a generic answer that he gave. You know, we'll look and see for the opportunity to improve the roster, yada, yada, and all like that. But I believe him. And you look at if you look at what this team has done only from a cash spending perspective so far this off season, there's still some room for some cash spending. Now, I'm not talking about going out and, you know, huge, but I mean, you could go out, you know, a lot of buzz maybe about Cortland Sutton right now, and his base salary I think is $13 million for 2024. So I'm not saying that's the guy, but if that is the guy, you would obviously trade for him, and you'd probably do something with his contract. I don't know. He's got another year on top of it, 2025, and I think he was hollering about a little bit, wanting a little bit more money. So, either you extend him, or maybe you do something similar to what the Steelers did with Antonio Brown a couple years ago. Maybe you bring a little bit of that money from 2025 forward to 2024, lower the base salary down to the minimum for his credited seasons, turn it into a signing bonus. That way he gets more money in 2024. And then the byproduct of that is you lower his 2024 cap number on top of it. As far as cornerback we'll see, but probably wouldn't be as sexy as something like that. But I mean, I definitely think that this team needs to add to the room with a more established veteran corner if one comes about. Look, we're just coming out of draft weekend right now. You're already starting to see some guys cut around the league. I would imagine over the course of this week, you'll see some more guys hit the street from other teams after the draft. Maybe there'll be one or two of them that will interest the Steelers. So I don't think you're done seeing outside free agents or guys on other teams wind up on the Steelers.
Sure, I'm with you. Receiver names have been mentioned ad nauseum. The corners, I think it'll be a former Steeler, whether that's a Patrick Peterson, apparently not the guy McFadden's talking about. So he clarified that. That's where my mind went to, where a lot of people's mind to, even though there was the explosive playmaker comment. Maybe he was just being a little jokey about that, but not Peterson as of this current moment. But they met Cam Sutton reportedly last week. Could they bring back Chandon Sullivan? They need slot help for sure, unless they're really counting on Darius Rush or somebody, Josiah Scott, assuming that role. But we'll see. I think they will make some moves. Got a pair of super chats here, $5 from Caleb Whisker. I do not see a question or comment. If I see one here, actually, no, I do see it below. Says, hey, fellas, awesome job on the draft coverage. As always, any info on why the Steelers might not have had much interest in Kingsley Suamatia? Obviously, we drafted, I always get the last, oh, I'm getting the last name butchering it right now, Fautanu. Just kind of wondering why they, and then it cuts off. He's just asking why they didn't have interest in him. It's hard to say, about one particular player. you know, it could be a variety of reasons, a size thing, a medical thing, just an overall tape thing. But they got their guy in Fado Tanner. That was their top guy. And once they got their tackle, they were focusing elsewhere on the offensive line.
Yeah, what did he measure in at? 6'4" and 5'8", 326. Big hands on him. He had 34 1/4-inch arms on him. We just probably barely mentioned his name in passing throughout the podcast in the pre-draft process. I don't think we, at least on our end, gave him, you know, or didn't think that you know, he would be on a main list. Now, maybe if you got into the third round or what have you. What round did he end up going, Alex? Do you remember?
I'm trying to think. Did he go round two? He went pretty high. There was some late first round buzz on him. That didn't happen. I think he was a second round guy.
He went, when did he go? Yeah, second round. Yeah, second round, 63rd overall to the Chiefs.
Okay. So, yeah, they need a left tackle there. So, yeah, I mean, we didn't mention him much, but there was never really any indication they had interest. Why they didn't, again, a ton of different reasons potentially why.
Right.
Got another $5 super chat here, as there's already 150 people here in the chat, so great turnout, 10 minutes in. If you guys just joining us could like to stream, really would appreciate that. Subscribe to the channel. We'll have more analysis. I'll have some breakdowns on the channel in the coming days and weeks. But Daryl Klein has a $5 super chat, says, Zach Frazier at number 51, what a draft, Omar. You had to get the tackle and the center in those top two rounds. When they got the tackle, Fado Tanner at 20, you get it. You're happy with it. They're happy with it. But you had the question that was lingering, will you get your center? How will you get your center? And the board comes to them. So very happy with how that turned out. So thank you, Daryl, for the super chat.
Yeah, thank you, Daryl.
John Pennington's asking about, help me understand the signing of the quarterback from he says UFC, it's Central Florida, because I didn't see anything that would require the signing and pay. That's John Rice Plumlee from Central Florida. They needed a fourth quarterback. They aren't cheap generally. He is a good athlete. I'm with you. I thought he'd go back to receiver, or he played receiver at Ole Miss after playing quarterback his freshman season, but they're content with him at quarterback. He is athletic. He's tough. He's a leader. I think he's likable. The coaches love him. So there are some positives to his game, but I do think the accuracy is a major red flag that'll have a tough time to make him an NFL quarterback.
And you need somebody to throw the football in these rookie mini camp coming up. And, you know, Omar Khan and I mean, the organization's been upfront that they were going to have four quarterbacks on this roster at some point, and now they do. So, you know, this just gives you another guy to look at. And, you know, as Alex has talked about with seeing what happens with him at wide receiver, maybe you get out of rookie mini camp and, you know, you get into OTAs or training camp, and obviously probably not a lot of reps to go around for a fourth round guy. Maybe you can slide him in at the end of a wide receiver line and see what he's got there on a couple of reps. But it was a little bit curious that, you know, and plus I guess, look, if you want a quarterback, it seems like undrafted, you're going to have to come off of a little bit of a signing bonus. So $35,000 that won't make a dent in things, because right, that's the only guaranteed portion of the contract that would be dead money. And assuming he sticks, you know, and you would think he would past June 1st, you would divide that by three, and then that 1/3 of it would be the dead money hit for this year, and then the other 2/3 would be dead money in 2025.
Good point. And while 35K is a record for a Pittsburgh Steelers UDFA, to our knowledge, it's not a lot of money in the UDFA landscape in general. The top quarterbacks are getting 100K, 200K partial base salary guarantees. And so that 35K is a drop in the bucket. Let's see. Rob Jones says, a wolf, jackrabbit, Hawkeye, and longhorn walk into a special teams meeting. Does Danny Smith chew his whole pack of gum? With the new kickoff rules, these four players could be huge on special teams. The jackrabbit might be a bulldozer lining up 5 yards away from kickoff. I'll tell you this, Danny Smith always chewing that pack of gum no matter what's going on around him. Yeah, I mean, there's potential there for Watts to do something. Logan Lee, we'll see what he can offer. Probably be on field goal team in preseason. Maybe he can block something. But yeah,
he blocked at least one, yeah. I know of at Iowa. I don't know. I didn't look to see. Maybe he's got another block in there as well too. But somebody that long, yeah, you'll probably see him in preseason for sure in the middle of the line trying to block a field goal attempt or so. Ryan Watts should give you something on special teams there if he can stick around. Obviously Peyton Wilson, if he doesn't earn. Any kind of starting job, he's going to be probably one that you have on special teams as well too. So quite a few of them.
Yeah, Peyton Wilson, I think, could be very dangerous in a good way on special teams. And McCormick, with the kickoffs being a run play, if he can work in space a little bit, maybe. I think teams will try different things, and I think they'll probably, I think teams will try offensive linemen in the preseason. You're going to tinker with things. Does this work? Does that work? What works better? How does this play kind of function? It's not going to be. It's going to be a process for all teams to adjust to these kickoff rules because it is so radical and there's not been any time on the grass to test these things out. So each team will have a new strategy and there'll be trial and error throughout the preseason. All right, next question. Okay, Michael Gallup just signed a one-year deal with the Raiders. So Gallup is one of those free agent guys that you thought, okay, if they weren't going to go with a trade route, would they go with a free agent? DJ Chark, Michael Gallup, 1 year. Raiders up to $3 million per Adam Schefter. So I just saw Michael Gallup signs and I went, okay, scroll on my phone here, but it is Raiders.
Yeah, you about had me had me jump out of my chair for a moment there.
Because I jumped out of my chair for a moment there. Got some air. All right, back to the questions. Pickle Rick 15, more of a comment. Ike Taylor, DB coaches, better cook with Watts. We'll see. I mean, Watts has a good profile, size, athleticism. Some questions about the long speed, but he tested well. Some versatility. They'll develop him and he'll have to earn Danny Smith's trust as well. That'll be very important to his roster spot. Mm-hmm. Let's see. $5 super chat from DTG108. Ben Albright just sent a GIF about Russ and Sutton reuniting. Yeah, very, very cryptic stuff there. We'll just have to wait and see. But as Dave said, it wouldn't make sense if the target was Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, and another thing, just trying to connect some dots loosely. I mean, if you look at the Broncos salary cap situation, they could use some more salary cap space after draft for things like, just the normal things that teams have to cover, practice squad and, any room that they want to go into the season with extra, and they might want to add another couple of players later on, in the off season, a 52nd and 53rd player under contract. And, if you look at over the cap at the possible restructure candidates that they have, they really don't have any other than Cortland Sutton. So if they were looking to kind of clear some cap room, obviously they drafted Troy Franklin over the weekend there, and they've got obviously several other wide receivers under contract. I'm not saying that's the guy, but it a lot of things add up if it ends up being him.
Agreed.
He's got a good relationship with, apparently, got a good relationship with Russell Wilson. Those two obviously have played together. Zach Azani has coached Cortland Sutton before, so there's another link there. So you just start kind of connecting some of these dots, and it wouldn't be mind blowing, I don't think, at this point.
No, I think that's probably the most likely candidate if there is a trade or any sort of move that goes down. Just wish somebody would not be cryptic and just be explicit. Either it's happening or it's not. Let's use our words. That'd be my recommendation, but we will wait. We will wait and see. All right, next question. Let me close out the chat here for a second. Let me scroll back up. Let's see. Mike Adesso, who is the odd man out in the O-line room? Herbig, Anderson, Cook. Dan Moore, maybe. Side note, they got to work McCormick at center and guard, right? Make him next a better version of Herbig. Dave and I walked through this the other day. If you keep 9 offensive linemen, all those names you mentioned, could make it, except for maybe Anderson to be an odd man out there. You could keep 10 and keep them all. As we discussed, injuries can change things in a heartbeat. So you go into camp, too many good offensive linemen is a very good problem to have in the NFL. A few teams have that, Dave, so we will figure it out. And yes, McCormick should work at both guard spots, maybe center, but definitely both guard spots.
Yeah, you would expect that, especially as a fourth round pick, because the odds of him sticking are very, very good. And you'd like to see his position flexibility as far as that goes. You already rolled through all the names there, as I usually like to say, and you know, we'll get this question probably 50 more times, you know, between now and time, you know, training camp gets underway. If these things have a funny way of working themselves out, and sometimes on the unfortunate side, sometimes due to injuries and all like that. But I mean, they could obviously save a little bit of money if Herbig was the odd man out, but you know, it obviously Spencer Anderson, did he even dress last year for? He might have dressed for one game.
He was
game.
Up there for that kneel down against Baltimore right. That was botched, and one more snap. He dressed. I think he dressed almost every game because it was Dylan Cook that was inactive, but Anderson did not play much.
Right, and then Cook obviously still has a lot to prove, but he turned a few heads last year during the preseason with some position flexibility. So yeah, it'd be fun to watch the bottom end of the depth chart shake out.
For sure. Again, good O-line depth, a good problem for this team to have. Jonathan Mason, how long do y'all think Andy Weidel will be with the Steelers before he becomes a GM somewhere? We'll see. I mean, Pittsburgh keeps having good draft classes. Then Weidel will get more buzz. He did not get even an interview during this last GM cycle. I thought he would get an interview somewhere. Depends how the season goes for Pittsburgh. The more success they have, the more teams will be looking at somebody like him. So hard to predict. But you would think at some point he will start getting GM interviews.
You know, we went like three, four, five years in a row kind of wondering about Omar Khan, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
And he should be the Texans GM. He was about to become the Texans GM until the owner came in and wrecked things.
You know, we kept thinking, man, are they going to lose Omar? He's interviewing, you know, here, interviewing there, and you know, it never worked out. So yeah, it's hard to say with those things for sure. How long you're going to have a front office guy like that?
Yeah, Khan almost went to Seattle way back when, lost out to John Schneider, who's still there, and then I think it was Jack Easterby that came in and pivoted last second to get Caserio, his Patriots buddy, over Omar Khan in Houston. That was reporting, at least anyway. Rob Jones, is Dan Moore the number one candidate for a trade at some point? What would his value be? Again, it's not going to happen right now. You get into camp, you see how guys look, see how Fautano looks, and you know guys get hurt. Could that happen? Potentially, but I think Pittsburgh would like to have a backup left tackle that has the experience and overall play that he does. His value, I couldn't put a great price on it. Fifth round pick, maybe, but again, these are conversations that'll come up really more towards the summer.
Yeah, I wouldn't think you'd want, unless you got something that knocked your socks off, I wouldn't think you'd want to act on that right now. I think you, and it's not like he's overly expensive right now anyway. So I would just roll with the depth that you have right now. Then, you know, obviously see if anybody can threaten him for, you know, threaten his job behind him. You know, obviously we expect Fautano to hopefully be the starter on one side, and obviously Broderick Jones on the opposite side there. So I don't think anything will happen for him with Dan Moore in the immediate future here.
Alden Rowe, thoughts on a potential receiver trade soon? Kind of discuss it. Let me just ask you briefly, Dave, would you be in favor of adding Cortland Sutton, putting aside will they, won't they, but would you endorse the idea?
I mean, yeah. I mean, this team needs another receiver that can play on the outside. And the further you get it, now I have not gone back through the 2000. I would probably already be on that 2021 tape of Wilson by now, if not sitting around waiting to see what happens with a potential trade and all like that. But it sure does feel like, you know, he might be more of a slot option for this team, and they could use another experienced guy that can play some outside. And you obviously have the relationship between Wilson and Sutton, and I mean, it wouldn't be the worst ad in the world. So, if that's what the move is, I mean, ideally, I think everybody in this chat would love Brandon Ayuk, right? Mm-hmm. You know,
sure.
But I don't know. There's so much reporting each way. Oh, they're going to trade him. No, they're not going to trade him. No, they're going to work out a deal with him. So who knows? But I mean, if you don't get a guy like Brandon Ayuk and you can't get a guy like Debo Samuel, then yeah, I think Sutton probably next one on the list there.
I agree. I'm good with it. He may not be this amazing guy, but to be that number two, Pickens, your number one, your offense runs through him in terms of your pass game. But, you know, Sutton had 10 touchdowns last year, and if it's not him, I don't know who it's going to be. You need another outside receiver who's got some size, some yak ability, some, you know, production, and of course, the chemistry with Russell Wilson and Zach Azani does not hurt. They know him. He'll know them. It'll be, I think, a good fit overall. So, and it shouldn't cost that much in terms of capital, which is now future capital anyway, assuming that's what the deal would be. I don't know, fourth round pick next year. I don't even know what Pittsburgh has in terms of, I guess they have that conditional fourth tag on Fields, but it shouldn't cost. It's not going to cost, obviously, Ayuk price tag to acquire Sutton.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
All right, next question comes from any more comments here. Travis says, thank you guys for all the hard work. What a weekend. Thank you, Travis. It absolutely was a great weekend. Frank says, would love to see a breaking news announcement during the live stream. Came close. Came real close there. Stay tuned. We got 40 minutes left here. Nick says, they blew it out of the water. What's your opinion on the cornerback situation? Was really hoping we traded up for TJ Tampa. Dave, what are your thoughts here? How comfortable are you with what Pittsburgh currently has at cornerback?
I mean, they need another body in that room, plain and simple. You'd like to see them add to that room now, moving on past the draft. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, you could have another outside. You could use another outside guy. You could definitely use a slot. I mean, definitely. I'm all for adding to the room.
And we should note that Anthony Everett, the former Raven and Lion, is coming in for a rookie minicamp tryout. He's a veteran type. They are allowed to be part of the tryouts. I know Jarvis Landry is going to be in a rookie minicamp somewhere this upcoming weekend, I believe. So that does occasionally happen. Nick Boyle was in rookie minicamp for Pittsburgh last year, was not signed as he tried the whole long snapper thing. But yeah, they need a slot receiver at the least. Even outside corner is a little shaky for me right now. We'll see what they do with Watts and how they view him. But slot corner to me is a must. Bishop is there. That's great. But you got to get somebody who's played a down who can play in the slot. And they are very thin there right now. All right, let's see. Next question comes from Jonathan Stevens. What's your overall feel on Ryan Watts, safety, cornerback, nickel? Could be all the above. It's hard to say for sure. Primarily a corner at Texas, played some safety at the Shrine Bowl. He's talked about his versatility, so we'll see how they look. Could be a dime package type of thing with Ryan Watts. But again, early on in his career, we're talking special teams for him to stick on this 53-man roster.
Yeah, I haven't gotten deep into his tape yet. I will sometime this week.
Okay, next question comes from a couple of comments here. We got Ollie Howard, species 5618 is here, always in these live streams. We appreciate you. Quality Colas says, I love Steelers Depot, and I know he's been here for a lot of these live streams as well, so thank you. Morgan is here as well, so we appreciate all you guys, the 209 people in the live stream right now. Logan says, hey, Dave and Alex, been a huge fan for years. I currently work in media advertising and wondering if you guys have any potential openings as a writer, draft analyst, and where to apply. Not right now, nothing open here post-draft, Logan, as things kind of slow down. We have a great team we've added to throughout the offseason, so if that changes, we'll put the call out, but no openings right now.
You can always, if you got any samples or whatnot, you know, we'll always look at those. That way we have your name on file and all like that and check, you know, keep checking back with us. But you never know when we might. So if you got any work that you can send to us, do it.
Yeah, that'll be just at the podcast email. I think it's probably the best place to do that. Jeremy Nelson, I did a fist pump when they got Frazier. I think a lot of people did, including the Frazier family. Him staying local, pretty cool story and a great fit overall. Sherry Turchetta says, thanks for all the great draft coverage. You guys are awesome. Really comprehensive coverage. Yeah, a great job by our team. We had the profile on every single draft pick this year, so they immediately went up once the pick was known. And our team did a great job with all the hard work to make draft weekend really successful.
Absolutely. Learned a lot from those profiles throughout the offseason there.
Carly McAdams, who is it everyone thinks the Steelers are trading for? Probably the front runner, as you mentioned, is Cortland Sutton. But again, we shall see. The ZPRO, I know Peyton Wilson was a steal, but why do you think we didn't go for TJ Tampa instead? I mean, you can play the game. Why didn't they go for this guy all day long? But Wilson, if you're comfortable with the medical, he was the most talented off-ball linebacker in this class. Good size, heavy production, good character. That kind of, if you're good with the medical, then he's your guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Mike Tomlin talked about that even I think with NFL Network at right after the draft, talking about how, you know, they were, you know, they had to get his medical sorted out, and they did, and they felt real comfortable about him, and yeah, we'll see where it goes from there. But look, I mean, if that guy stays healthy, he's a playmaker, and he's still got that speed. That's the funny thing about it is, you know, I remember really learning a lot more about him right there during the Senior Bowl, because obviously they had him on a couple of interviews, and you know, the big talk at the time was all reviewing his medicals and all like that. But I mean, you turn on the tape on him, and you know, that's the thing about it, for a guy that supposedly has the knee issues, or has had the knee issues that he has had. He can move, man. He can move. So undoubtedly, he would have been, you know, the top linebacker off the board in this class if teams did not question his medicals. So as far as why they don't go, other directions, I mean, yeah, like Alex said, I mean, we could try to play that game, you know, a lot. It's hard to really say.
I think Tampa had some numbers that were problematic on his RAS card, and so Pittsburgh generally drafts some high athletes when it comes to the secondary, especially corner, and that may have disqualified Tampa. Just a reminder, if you guys, Super Chat's coming in now. You can send us a Super Chat because we have a ton of questions and a bunch of people here in the live stream, which we certainly do appreciate. Ryan Ripple says, with a $2 Super Chat, who wins in arm wrestling, Frazier versus Fa'utanu? That's a great question. That, too. Frazier, who would you give the nod to, Dave?
Well, Frazier got some monster hands, man.
It's true.
I mean, Faletano's got some pretty good mitts on him as well, too. But I would go with Frazier, I think.
I'll go the other way. I'll give it to the big boy, Troy Fa'utanu. But we'll pay to see that. We'll pay to see the wrestling between maybe Logan Lee and Zach Frazier as well. Poison Gaming YT, a $5 Super Chat, thank you so much, says you can't tear your ACL if you don't have one. That's the old Thinking Man meme gif right there on Peyton Wilson, who apparently does not have an ACL. I know Dr. Mel is kind of categorizing that, but yeah, I guess that's one upside, very much like Hines Ward. I know people mention Hines Ward and Greg Lloyd, and I get that. You know, there's been successful players without ACLs, but I would consider those more outliers than the rule.
Let's just hope he stays healthy.
Yeah, and the good news is he's healthy right now. He's been healthy for the past 2 years. Again, the issue is more longevity than it is going to be a short-term problem. That was also the concern with Darnell Washington, and he was healthy his whole rookie season. Jason Noonan, I think the trade is Sutton. He's hoping Ayuk. That probably is a good way to frame things overall. Jay Barker, 422. Both the Cons drafts have been pretty wildly celebrated in the media. If you had to pick one, which do you think is better? We have the benefit of watching the 23 class come in, but I think even on paper at the time, 23 class felt a bit more higher end than the 24 class, but both, of course, very strong.
I would agree with what you just said there, but I mean, we'll obviously get a chance to watch the 2024 class and go from there. But man, Broderick Jones, Joey Porter Jr., Keanu Benton, just those three alone really make you feel good. And, you know, Nick Herbig obviously showed some good things in the limited amount of playing time that he had. And so that's a bonus anytime you get one of fourth rounders to contribute like the amount that he did, not only on special teams, but a little bit on the defensive side as well, too. So that could be a little bit hard to top there.
Yeah, I think so. And even Darnell Washington in year two. I know year one was not the best year, but he improved as a blocker. And I think it was a pretty raw guy still. And for a year two jump could be in order for Darnell Washington in this Arthur Smith tight end based offense. Let's see, next question. I just lost my place here. I think another Super Chat just came in. It's a $5 Super Chat, a bunch of them tonight. Thank you guys very much. From David S. says, if one of your undrafted free agents makes the initial 53, who is your early favorite? Again, I think you got to go back to Beanie Bishop, his production, the slot corner battle, his spot being wide open. Again, they will add some people. There will be competition, but I think Beanie Bishop, there's only five of them you can choose from the undrafted free agents, but I think it's clearly him.
Yeah, look, I gotta admit, I thought maybe this undrafted class just seems to dwindle by the year. You know, only five, because if you look at the roster, how many they could added, and obviously sometimes you'll see some of those future guys go out the door right after the draft, so they can sign a couple of undrafted guys. But only five undrafted free agents. Yeah, I'm with Alex. I think, you know, Beanie Bishop's going to be one. He'll probably have the most buzz about him, I think.
I agree. They only had six undrafted guys last year, five this year. So, but at this point, they don't sign the high-end undrafted guys, so maybe it's better to go sign a bunch of veterans as opposed to a very small and weak undrafted class.
This rookie minicamp roster is going to be something because, I mean, regardless, they normally have a lot of tryout guys in these things, but it feels like there's going to be even more tryout guys because, look, you only got, what, seven draft picks, five undrafted free agents. That's 12 players right there. I know they got a couple of these veterans coming in, and we'll have to see if you know, a guy like Corey Trice gets cleared to participate in the rookie minicamp again this year. But there's going to be a lot of invites on this list here.
There probably will. It's usually 20 to 30, but some first-year guys can still be eligible. You don't have to technically be a rookie to come right in. I remember, this is so obscure, but LaVon Hooks, the D-tackle, was at like five rookie minicamps in his career. It's like at some point, okay, he shouldn't be eligible anymore. He's a veteran of the rookie minicamp. But yeah, they'll probably, again, have about 20 to 30 tryout guys come in. All right, back to the questions. About 25 minutes left with Dave and myself. Thank you guys so much again for being here and hanging out with us here on this post-draft live stream. Let's see. Mark Miller, explosive playmaker equals Devontae Adams. Bring back Sutton and Edmonds. Sign Adams and let's go to work. Yeah, I mean, I would love to get Devontae Adams, but I think he's happier now that Antonio Pierce is the head coach. Had they hired somebody other than AP, I think Adams is probably already traded by now. I think he would demand out. It'd be amazing, but do not hold your breath, Mark.
All right.
Seth B., this offseason has been strong for the 2024 roster and the future. Do you think just getting over the hump and getting one playoff win is enough for 2024 to be a successful season? Dave, what would you call a successful season for Pittsburgh?
They better win a playoff game. I'll tell you that.
Does that meet the bar, though?
Look, you win one, anything can happen in a tournament, right? You know,
sure.
From that point forward. But I tell you, Art Rooney the second. Is tired of not winning at least one playoff game. So that to me at least needs to be the bar.
I think it certainly needs to be what they have to do. And yeah, I'm tired of it. Rooney's tired of it. The coaches are tired of it. The fans are tired of it. At minimum, I would say that to call that successful, even if you have a fine regular season, go even 11-6. If you're 1-done wild card weekend, it's the same old close. Not close enough. I know their aspirations are always Super Bowl, as they should be. Keep that standard high. But I think getting that monkey off your back in terms of winning a playoff game is a must in 2024. Xavier Robinson, would you guys agree, top to bottom, this is the most talented group of nine offensive linemen the Steelers have had? It's hard to compare and contrast. I mean, they've had some great front fives when you had the days of Pouncey, Villanueva, Gilbert, etc., DeCastro, Foster, but it's the most talented nine they've had basically since then. That is, I think, easy to say.
It's the best outlook. Yeah.
Yeah.
But especially for this time, for this portion of the offseason, for sure.
Right. But these guys have to get into camp, and we got to see them on Frazier, on Fagutanu. So there's still a lot of work to be done to judge the overall talent of this class.
Look, when you have pedigree and picks like that, first, second round picks, and you talk about this team has drafted five offensive linemen over the course of the last two drafts now, and two of those are first rounders. One of them is a second rounder, and what was the other one? Fourth rounder with McCormick. I mean, yeah, you better get some return there.
For sure. Mark Miller's asking who won the draft contest. He says he had 80 points. I know, Dave, you're going to take some time still to tabulate that. We'll get the results for you guys here in due time.
Look, we had a lot of entry fees, and they all come in different shape and sizes, some on Excel sheets, some just in emails, some some in, just copy and paste it in emails. It takes a lot of time to go through those, and I'm slowly forwarding them over to the great David O. And I'm not going to rush him on it, because you know, I want him to do a complete job like he normally does. So I promise you, as soon as we get all of them graded, and once again, there is a lot of them, so it's not going to happen tomorrow, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, just be patient.
It's going to take time to grade all those.
We'll let you know. We'll have the post for sure. So, Mark, don't you worry. Let's see. Anthony says, great catch by Alex, the 7 out of 20 comment. That's why you guys are the best. Thank you, Anthony. For those that don't know, that's referring to Kelvin Fisher in the background of the Mike Tomlin call to Troy Fa'utanu, talking about 7 out of 20. Our belief strongly is that Fa'utanu was their number 7 player on their board.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against that.
Carl Ward, remember how everyone doubted if Nick Herbig could play outside? I think we are doing the same with Roman Wilson. I get your point, Carl. But I mean, listen, Wilson is just, he's been a slot guy. That's literally what he's done. I mean, Herbig was an outside guy at Wisconsin, so I wouldn't call that one-to-one. I'm not saying he can't do it, but, you know, can you bring in somebody else that can offer that too? These guys will mix and match. Wilson will play some outside his rookie season, but you want somebody a bit more proven, a bit bigger to really, you know, have three strong receivers at the top.
I mean, I think part of your answer might come with what happens if they go out and acquire a receiver here, you know?
Sure. Yeah, if they get one, that's an admission that they feel like there was still work to be done there.
Look, all we got to go off of you know, what we see so far. Now, look, here's the other thing to it. I still got to go through the 2021 tape where he logged more snaps on the outside. So, and wanted to Alex and I had some conversations about Roman Wilson and why I thought he might be the pick, because you know, Alex, he's more of an inside guy and all like that. But I mean, we realize and acknowledge that he did play some outside at Michigan. I mean, that obviously is a fact. You know, the projection is, you know, what is he going to do more of at the NFL level?
Sure. And I don't want to say just because you're small, you have to play in the slot. That's not true. AB was not a huge guy. Deontay, not a huge guy. I was a huge fan of Ladd McConkey, who went to, the Chargers, and he was typecast as the slot guy. I think he's an outside, inside guy. He can do both. Wilson, again, can do it, but, you know, he's not super strong, and he's a smaller frame, and that typically is a slot role. And, again, that's what he did at Michigan predominantly. Now, we talked about in 21, he played more on the outside. We're going to go through that film and examine it. But, again, he has traditionally been a slot receiver. Party Chat Sports, happy to say I nailed the Zach Frazier pick at 51 in my mock draft. Good on you, Party Chat Sports. Good prediction there. David Leach, how often did Arthur Smith run three receiver sets? Just curious. He's been in bottom of the barrel in terms of 11 personnel. I want to say 17% of the time last season, and that was for a Falcons team that did not have the lead in many fourth quarters. Usually the number goes up when you're having the pass late. So again, I think it won't be as much 11 as we've seen in past years in Pittsburgh. It'll be more 11 than what Arthur Smith has typically done. What that number is partly game circumstantial, but it'll be less 11 personnel this year.
Yep.
Michael Wu, why only rank the top 20 players for the first round board? Seems like they're going into it already decided they won't trade down. They rank more than 20. Tomlin just 20 because they were at 20, but Mark Korsak was speaking and he said they would rank him like 1 through 45. So they rank more than 20. David also asking, how worried are you about the D-line with injuries in the weak second unit? Consider me a little worried. I guess Patrick Wilson will get 130 tackles, so we'll be okay. He said Patrick Wilson. That's a hybrid, I guess, of Patrick Queen and Peyton Wilson, but Peyton Queen. Okay, I'm getting myself mixed up here. Patrick Queen will get all the tackles. Dave, how worried are you about the D-line right now?
Look, Cameron Hayward's another year older. Larry Ogunjobi, need to really have him earn that money this year. Excited about Keanu Benton. You know, they're going to absolutely have to get Keanu Benton on the field in more two-down lineman-type situations here. But then, you know, what's behind it right now?
Yeah, that is the question. I don't have the long-term answers. There's some depth, some rotational type of guys, but you know, at least there'll be some competition this summer between Liao, Loudermilk, Lowry, and Lee. Just all the L's will be battling each other to be for those backup spots this summer. Let's see, what else do we have? I kind of lost my place. Let me scroll back up and try to find it. I totally lost where I was at before, so I apologize. I might have missed over some questions. Bill, hello, Dave and Alex. Always a pleasure. I'll watch on my television. Thank you, Bill. Let's see. What else do we have here? Just trying to find some different questions. What about Chris Godwin? I don't know if Tampa Bay has an appetite to trade him, and he's still more of a slot receiver anyway. Let's see. What else do we have here? Do you have a favorite draft pick? Yeah, we kind of mentioned that earlier. I think Zach Frazier, just because you had to get that center, and that was kind of the last guy that I think you could confidently say can start day number one.
Just a note about Chris Godwin. Somebody asked right then. Looks like he's got a base salary due of $18.5 million. Looks like he's already been paid a $1.5 million roster bonus by Tampa Bay. And it looks like the rest of his contract's got three void years on it as well, too. So if you know, first and foremost, you know, you'd have, if you did trade for him, you'd have to do something with either with an extension to get that cap number down. It feels kind of messy overall. Look, you go roll back a couple years ago when he was coming out. Remember Todd Haley was at that pro day, right? At the Penn State pro day. I'm a huge Chris Godwin fan. I always try to draft. Oh, he always ends up on my fantasy rosters. I think as well too. I mean, I understand the link connection and why we're getting a question on him. It just, I think it might really boil down to what Alex kind of let off with. It doesn't feel like they're willing to part ways with him.
Yeah, they re-signed Mike Evans, and they have Godwin with Baker back as well. I think they want to keep that offense and let those guys grow another year together. Let's see, what else do we have here? Kay Sleazy, is Peyton Wilson really a top three off-ball linebacker from this draft class from a talent on-field perspective? Absolutely, he is.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, and look, they moved him around quite a bit in that defensive front as well, too. And it's really fun to just see that speed on display with him, the diagnosing, his hitting ability. Boy, he was asked to rush the quarterback quite a bit, too, and had some success in there. I wouldn't imagine he's going to move around as much in the Steelers defense, so it will be interesting to watch him, you know, play more in a second-level kind of area where he can't, you know, where his focus is just kind of diagnosing and making a play there. But he can rush the passer. He can go from the outside. Heck, they moved him out there to cover some guys down the field occasionally as well, too. Out wide a little bit.
Yeah, on tape, there is not a lot to not like about his game. The concerns was age. He's 24, the medical, and really the longevity. He's going to be 28 on a second contract with his history. How much longer will he play, I think, is the overall concern. But Pittsburgh will take that chance. A couple other receiver names being mentioned here. Somebody wants Danny Gray from the Niners. Did you like Danny Gray coming out of SMU? Weren't you a Danny Gray fan?
Was the other one? The other one that they were looking at the same time.
It's not coming to mind. Do you have a college? Was it SMU?
It might have been SMU.
I think they had two guys like 2 years.
Wasn't there two guys class? Two guys in that same class?
Chad will probably tell us. I can't remember the name right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've been linked to him in the past, you know.
But that feels like that's not a starting receiver. That's the guy that's not really been proven enough there. Maybe a post-camp cut-down type of an ad situation. Herb's Place, thoughts on DJ Chark as a free agent receiver, too? That would make still some sense if it's not going to be a trade. The article I wrote the other day saying this team still has to add something at receiver, I'd mentioned three names. Gallup, who's now signed with the Raiders. Chark and Sutton, Courtland Sutton. So, I mean, those are the three I've been looking at. You know, beyond those, I don't know where you would go. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And if it's not Sutton, if they have to go DJ Chark, again, not ideal, but if he's going to catch 50 passes, 600 yards, and 2-3 touchdowns and give you the playing time out there, that can work.
And I think they were at that LSU Pro Day as well, too, several years ago.
Yeah, and I think so, and he's still got a speed. Let's see. Somebody's saying acquire Corey Davis. I know he's with the Arthur Smith connection, but I don't know. He retired, and his best days seem behind him.
I mean, I would do it for a veteran benefit contract, you know, for the minimum. But yeah, there hasn't been a lot of buzz about him, really, since he really announced that, you know, he wanted to come back and play.
Right, so I'll probably pass on Corey Davis. Mike ribbing me about my Suns getting swept by the Knicks. Yeah, that's a bad look. That team is in some pretty bad shape, I think, for the future. On a serious note, all the signs sure point to Cole Holcomb not being back anytime soon. Sure, that's why this team was adamant about drafting an inside linebacker. I said for a month before the draft began, they would take an off-ball linebacker in that third, fourth round. They get Peyton Wilson at 98. I didn't think it'd be Peyton Wilson, but I'm very happy that it is.
Uh-huh.
Steeler, Mike, all these picks seem to have a few things in common. They're super smart. They're family and team-first guys. I like this class a lot. Yeah, very high character. Hearts and smarts, Dave. That's what you talk about.
Right, right, right. Boy, you look at the interviews throughout the process, dating back to the combine and all. I mean, they're all super likable guys, I think.
For sure, for sure. High character, smart, tough, physical, a very clear theme in Pittsburgh's draft class. Infinity 2Z3R0. Hi, Dave and Alex. Do you think Penix going 8th overall changed the entire draft? Were there really 6 quarterbacks going in the first round, let alone in the top 12? Yeah, I think 6 would have gone still. I know the Broncos were huge fans of Bo Nix. That would have been their guy. I think maybe Penix ends up going to the Raiders instead. I really don't think, had the Falcons taken whoever, Dallas Turner, at 8, it would have, I mean, it could obviously, but I don't think it would have changed the complexion of Pittsburgh's first round calculation.
I mean, this was still going to be an offensive heavy first round anyway, right?
Right, right. So I think Penix would have been gone by pick 20. I think Nix probably, maybe the Broncos would have been a bit more open to trading down, but would they go all the way to 20 if they love Bo Nix? That's probably too risky. Somebody comes up and, snags him. I don't think that would have happened ultimately. All right, next question will come from, let's see here, Bubba. I'm here late. Did they talk about Steelers bringing back guys like Quan, Golden, or the DB who played well, whose name escapes me at the moment? You're probably referring to Eric Rowe. Yeah, Quan's rehabbing when you draft Peyton Wilson, when you sign Patrick Queen. You know, again, you could look at Quan in camp the way they did last year, but that door's closing. And then Rowe, I mean, Rowe did well. You know, thank you for contributing, but you signed Deshaun Elliott. You want to get younger, more athletic. I don't think Rowe is a big piece you need right now.
Yeah, and as far as Golden, he's probably best served to sit and wait anyway to see what might open up, you know?
Sure, the Pittsburgh claiming Jeremiah Moon. I think Herbig is certainly due for a bigger role in year two. Golden lacks special teams value. So if somebody gets hurt and he's still available in the summer, then okay, we'll talk. But as you said, Dave, probably best for him to wait.
I wouldn't think they've said, no, you're never coming back to any of them. But it would definitely be a wait and see, and it had to be the right situation. And unfortunately, that right situation might be, an injury or something happening.
Right. 10 minutes left. We'll get to as many questions as possible. Jason Williams. Why do you think it's such a big difference from Kahn drafting versus Colbert drafting? Is it a big difference, Dave?
I don't know if we've got enough info on that just yet, but I do feel like they were more apt to let the board come to them in a couple of situations there, especially this year. But I mean, how many times do we really know that the board didn't break the right way for them, mm-hmm. Either there. So here's the thing. During the pre-draft process, I think we both kind of felt comfortable of guys that we thought that they would like and have interest in. Obviously, the positions of need were kind of easy to identify in this. So I don't think we have enough info just yet to say how much exactly has changed.
Yeah, there's certainly been changes. I would say the scouting department has gotten a refresh. About half the scouting department are new faces that were added post-Con being hired, post-Colbert stepping down. But Colbert had some really good drafts, especially early. We got a little bit weaker late, but look at 2017, the great class that was. There's been a heavier investment in the O-line. That's probably one, I think, key difference. Kevin Colbert did not draft O-linemen early, in part because they already had some guys that developed. You had Alan Faneker for all that time. You put together the Pouncey, DeCastro, et cetera, group, and you were kind of set for a while, didn't have to draft somebody early, and you did draft many of those guys early, and you just hit on them. You didn't have to draft them again. You drafted Pouncey first round, DeCastro first round, Gilbert second round. You found gems in Beecham, Villanueva, Foster, so you didn't really have a need to draft early. I think late in his drafts, he should have put more investment in the offensive line. I think they're generally pretty similar in terms of the guys. Like, it's pretty predictable. I mean, they just drafted their pre-draft visit list, and I don't know. I don't know if I see – there are differences, but I don't necessarily see giant differences compared to Kevin Colbert. And I think that's okay. I think they've drafted well under Colbert, and they've been drafting well under – Omar Khan. Let's see what else we have here. ODG Dorkman, might have missed this, so I'll get to it right now. A $2 super chat. Thank you for the amazing coverage by your team. Thank you so much. And I know you've been to all these live streams, and so we appreciate that. Let's see what else we have here. Did I miss a question? CCZZ says, hi, Dave and Alex. Related to scheme, these players and possibilities, what are, if any, scenarios where the number two receiver is Roman Wilson, but this offense is still optimal, top 10, with a quality passing game as well? That's a lot of layers to that. If they run the ball well and play action works off of that, and if Wilson just plays fantastically, then you can have a really good offense still.
Yeah, look, they're going to have to run the damn ball and run it well. Yeah. And hopefully you can start building some play action off of that stuff. And this team needs more shot plays, more explosive plays, however they need to get that. They obviously need to be better in the red zone, in the passing red zone game specifically there. So there's a lot of different things that have got to improve with this offense for them to win some games.
Sure, and red zone play especially, which has been pretty weak, just overall pass game production. So, yeah, there's a scenario where you could have Roman Wilson as your two and be a good offense. But, again, I think you can still add to it. You can make this offense as good as possible, this passing game as strong as possible. You don't want any questions where you sit there, you know, November, December, and say, man, Dave, we just had that extra receiver that might be that key to really help complement this offense and open up this different element that we're looking for. You want to go all in for this offense in a year where you are trying to win, break this playoff drought. Your defense is getting older. This is the time to win and win right now.
Someone said Khan traded up in the first year and got Broderick. Well, it just wasn't a couple of years ago that they traded up for Devin Bush, right?
Yeah, I mean, Colbert was a guy to go up. He was not somebody who went down, but he traded up, not a ton, but you know, he would do it. Troy, Holmes, and Bush. And yeah, if there was a guy that he really wanted, he was not scared to go up there and trade for him. He traded up for a bunch of guys. Who did he trade up for non-first round? Mason Rudolph, he traded up for.
Loudermilk.
Yeah, Loudermilk. Not the strongest names to start with, but he's trading up is at the point we're presenting. There were others, I'm sure, too. Trading down, though, he very rarely did. He didn't do it once the last 10 drafts he was a part of. He just did not like going down. And I think Khan has shown more flexibility in that regard. Trading down last year. Didn't trade this year, but again, the board fell to them. Roger is in the Bahamas, says, do you think Fautanu was drafted with the coaches knowing where he would line up? That's a good question. I think they probably have a good idea. Maybe not 100% set in stone, though.
Yeah, look, they sent Pat Meyer out there to they obviously knew who he was, and they sent him out there, and Pat Meyer out there to the pro day and all like that, and I'm sure they had in their mind, hey, if we draft this guy, this is potentially where we're going to give him the first opportunity at position.
Yeah, I think so. I can't pronounce the name. It's AECH says, would Tyler Boyd be a possibility? I think he's too much of a slot guy. When you have a bunch of slot guys and you drafted Roman Wilson, I want more of a clearly bigger, defined outside receiver. Mark Lancaster, I get the great value for Fautanu. How could you pass up Quinyon Mitchell? Everyone trusted Khan last year, bringing in Patrick Peterson. This year, Jackson on the decline. So he's saying they should have gone with Mitchell over Fautanu.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to answer that. I mean, there's always going to be opinions on some guys like the guy they took, and some people think they should have went another direction.
Sure, we could debate that. And I think Mitchell is a good corner, and the Eagles got a good one and good value, but again, Fautanu was their number seven player on their board to fall to 20. I promise you that does not happen in most drafts. Number seven guy on your board falls to pick 20. So I think they were very happy to get him where they got him. Over under number of passes by the Steelers this year, I don't even know. 600 is kind of a neat number to put.
There you go.
No idea, really, Jeffrey. Bless will hopefully be better because it means you're probably winning and running the ball late. Pickle Rick, 15, Steelers have fullback Jack Coletto on their roster via ESPN. Any thoughts on his potential fit? We'll see. I mean, he's a practice squad guy last year. Arthur Smith's offense obviously used the fullback. We'll see if he gets a look. Connor Hayward gets a look. We'll let you know in training camp.
Yeah, that'll be fun to learn more about some of these guys and potential making a roster once camp gets underway.
Question here for Dave from Vitamin Peanut Butter. My buddy doesn't like Roman Wilson pick because he thinks there's too much overlap between Calvin, Quez, and Van Jefferson. Does Wilson bring enough with his late crossers and great attitude?
Look, I mean, I'll let you do, as soon as I get, I've already got all the data from the 2023, all the targets together in a spreadsheet. I just got to format it now and then write the post around it. I was going to hopefully try to have that done today, but sitting there watching the Twitter machine to see what's going to happen here with a wide receiver here. I will say this, he's got good hands. He's able to get separation. They did use him quite a bit on the slot. A lot of free releases within there. I think he's above average route runner overall. Not asked to go against press or stuff like that. Obviously, in the role that they used him, nice average depth of target, average depth of completion. Obviously, played for a big program in Michigan. There's a lot of positives related to a physical guy, a willing blocker, obviously not the best blocker in this class, but I think he's got some upside to him.
Yeah. I think he's just simply more talented than those guys. There may be a similar skill set in terms of their overall, what they bring, but in terms of the competency of it and what their ceiling is, I think it's just bigger than any of those names we just mentioned. Let's see a couple more questions and then we will get out of here. There'll be an archive version of this on the site and a great 200 plus consistent chat here tonight. So fantastic turnout. Ron says over under total thrown touchdowns 30. You taking the over or the under on that, Dave?
Oh, man.
I'm taking the under.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to take the under. Boy, what a great season. They'll put up some points when they throw 30.
They sure will, but they've had 25 the last 2 years combined. I get new quarterbacks and it's a whole new feel, but 30 still feels rich for a run heavy team. I will say 25 feels like a good number to hit. Uh-huh. Dave, good news. I saw a 2025 NFL mock draft out already. Dave's favorite. Ooh. He loves those mock drafts.
Yeah, I like doing just one of them, and that's only because I have to. But yeah, you get right out of mock draft season, and you go right back into mock draft season with the 2025 one coming out.
Yeah, you should. Your mock drafts are good, Dave. So you should do more of them. I mean, you have a good process, and you're nailing it over there. Was it Colbert that traded up for Troy? Yes, it was. He was the GM at the time back in 2003. Ben-Jamin, you and the Depot crew are the best around. Thanks for all the great content. Thank you so much, Benjamin. And I think on that note, a couple more questions we'll get to briefly. Enda Marcus Robinson. I assume that's Mark Robinson. I don't know. I mean, you have – depends on Holcomb, really, his health. We'll see on Mark Robinson.
He's not going anywhere right now, that's for sure. I wouldn't think. So you never know how things will play out during training camp. And, I mean, look, you've got Patrick Queen, obviously, in there. You got Atlanta Roberts coming back. You got the draft pick in Wilson. We'll see what happens with Holcomb. But, look, I mean, even if Holcomb's able to play, he's not going to play on special teams. You're going to need, how many will they carry? Five off the ball, probably?
I'd have to think in other spots, 4 to 5. Let's assume 5, though, for a second.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if Mark Robinson can take that next step. I mean, I don't want to unequivocally say as we sit here in April that he's out of here, but he's going to have to earn that spot. I'll say that.
For sure. Special teams will be very, very critical for Mark Robinson, but you'd have Queen, Roberts, Peyton Wilson. Then again, Holcomb, his status, will he be a pup guy? I don't know. Really, it may depend on the health of Cole Holcomb may determine Mark Robinson's standing. Let's see, maybe one more question. Mike was asking thoughts on the Everett pickup. Again, he's a tryout guy. It's not a contract. If he gets signed, we'll talk about him more. But, he's got to make this team first.
Got to make it through that weekend and ink the paper.
And then last one, Team Enriquez. Can Dan Moore be moved to the inside? I think he's a tackle. I think he's been a left tackle his whole life.
He's a tackle.
He's a left tackle. And plus, they're pretty stacked at guard. We had McCormick and Herbig and Anderson, and Cook played some left guard last year. So it's not like a great opportunity to play at left guard. So with that, we're going to wrap things up. Great turnout tonight. Fantastic number of questions and people and super chats. And so we're very thankful for you guys following our whole draft coverage. It was an amazing draft weekend for the site, for our team. And so we could not be more appreciative of you guys for it. And Dave, as always, appreciate you being here with me for these live streams.
And I appreciate you being the host of these. And boy, 200 something people in here tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can't say that enough for reading the site, listening to the podcast, attending these live streams at all. It means a lot. Hopefully we've gotten through as many questions as we can. And I enjoyed the chat, and peace and love, everybody.
Yeah, there'll be an archived version of this on Seagulls Depot in a bit. Again, please subscribe to the channel. I'll have more video breakdowns of some of these draft picks. And if there's a Cortland Sutton or any additional receiver coming in, there may be a video on that. But certainly there'll be information, analysis, breakdowns on the site, Seagulls Depot.